All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to our Thursday Night Live. And this is Peter.
Yo, hi, Frankie here. We are doing this all over again.
To not confuse those of you who are listening to this on Spotify or either Apple Podcasts, right? Yeah, do remember that this is a show that's recorded live on Thursday night on our YouTube, so feel free to join us if you're available. But I understand there's about 1,000 to 2,000 of you actually listening to our podcast itself. And those of you who are actually thinking like, hey, where to find it, right? The answer is, the name of the show is called The Real Money Show by Mr. Money TV. So you just need to go over to Spotify, look for The Real Money Show by Mr. Money TV, and you will be able to find this podcast. Now, one thing is this as well. Before we begin talking about the title of tonight and how we're going to talk about it, firstly, I would like to ask you guys, right? Do you guys think that we should actually make this into a more curated podcast? What do I mean is that instead of doing Thursday Night Live, right, we can start bringing guests. We can make it more effective, like more curated, but there won't be much live interaction, right? Because we noticed that regularly there's about 100 of you who watches us live, and pretty much a few thousand of you guys are actually watching us on Spotify. Yeah, and some actually ask for it to be in a full-form video on YouTube itself. So we are thinking, how do we cater for it? Now, if you can help us by just telling us in a comment, if you think that it should be on a YouTube show, a longer format, or you think that it should be a pure podcast with video format, let us know in the comment. Yeah, or you think that this live should continue, please write it down as well, right? Yeah, so that we can have an approach that's the most effective.
Yep.
Yeah, if not,
that is correct.
Very tired also, every Thursday night.
Every Thursday night, I have to stay back.
Yeah. And then my kids is like asking, like, hey, Papa, can you come back earlier? You know? So you start seeing my kids following me for Thursday night live these days. Now, nonetheless, let's go into the topic of tonight. We're going to talk about how to save 100,000 ringgit in 2024 and how we are going to do it ourselves, right? Yeah. Okay, to say we are going to do it ourselves is not really true because I think both of us have probably achieved our first 100,000, right?
Because the title here says save 100,000, so I don't have. It's save, you know.
No, that's why let's be practical. If you save 100,000, the only way to get there is if you're going to be earning 30,000 and you can save 10K, okay?
Right.
Let's be practical, right? So what we mean by is also together with investment, right?
Right.
Yeah, so if we were to go by that, have you actually achieved your first 100,000?
Oh, yes.
It doesn't matter whether you spend on your house already or not. Yeah, you have definitely achieved, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I've also achieved my first 100,000. When did you first achieve your first 100,000? That is the best part. When did you first achieve, except properties, plus stocks and everything, when did you first achieve your 100,000 in liquid assets?
I didn't really keep track. Because I don't really do budgeting, unfortunately. Even though we are a personal finance channel, but I yeah, correct. I don't really keep track. But safe to say, maybe into the fifth or sixth year of my career, then I started to see that money. Like, wouldn't say 100,000, but at least more freedom in terms of financial capability.
Right.
Fifth or sixth year,
you start seeing like the capability of having that 100,000.
More relaxed, not so tight.
More relaxed. Okay. Yeah, I think I successfully start seeing like really 100,000. Probably only the last 2 years to 3 years.
Oh, when you started Mr. Money TV.
Yeah. Probably only about
that. Good job.
Yeah, because previously, I think you know, I did earn a lot, but I also spent a lot.
Correct, the way you spend. Who? This guy, when I was still driving my old junk car, this guy drove a BM, man.
Yeah. So what to do, right? The time I was already earning quite well.
Yeah.
And it didn't come in the form of like just bonus, right? It was on a regular commission basis.
Correct.
Yeah, because yours was more like year-end bonus one shot, and you don't know where the next year you get.
Yes.
Mine is more like, I'm very certain I'm getting it in the next few years.
Wow.
So that was a
good time.
That was a good times. Good times. Yeah. So I spent a lot. I think 1 year also traveling, I spent like 20K, 20, 30K. Then buy stuff. Yeah. So The time I earn it.
No, if you say like that, then you actually achieve it way earlier, not just 2-3 years ago. You just span it away.
That's what I'm saying, liquid asset lor.
Okay.
That's why today's title is liquid asset lor.
Right.
Because the answer is very simple, right? You just need to earn about 20 over 1,000 and you save half the money.
Okay.
You have 10,000 every month. One year you already have 120,000. What's that talk about?
Mm.
Then we should change our title tonight to how to earn 120, how to earn 20,000 a month.
Yeah. Okay.
There's nothing much to talk about, right? So we want to talk about people who also may not have that.
Mm.
Okay. So let's go in that, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So let's start with this thing. If let's say we have 10,000 ringgit today, how will you, let's say that's all you have, 10,000 ringgit, what will you do in order to hit 100,000 by year end?
Wow, 10,000 is actually quite little amount of money. Today 10,000.
Yep.
With my two kids and all.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. You have 10,000 cash.
Okay.
That's all you got.
Right. It's
what will you do to hit 100,000?
It's very difficult, but I'm going to die cut a portion out and put it into some money market fund and chase FD. You know, at one point in time, banks keep like increasing the FD to fight for people.
Firstly, before we go into that,
yeah.
If you only have 10,000 and you cannot add on any funds to this, is it even possible to hit 100,000? Let's be honest here.
Very, very difficult.
Yeah. I think it's very difficult as well because you're talking about 10x growth, you know.
Yeah.
10x.
10x. And some more you need to feed so many people some more, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you probably end up with like 1-2,000 ringgit.
No. We are talking about not salary. We're talking about saving 10k. That's all you got.
Oh, saving already. So I count him everything already.
You count him everything. That's your excess money, 10k. Okay. How possible it is to actually hit 100,000 in 1 year? 10x your money in 1 year. How possible?
Possible one, but just challenging.
That's the story. Let's kickstart that.
Possible it is, just challenging. Sounded like very easier. All you need to do is 10 times your money, right? You just need to double it like 5 times you count them already. Right? But so the trick is to find that 5 times double. Okay. Let's be serious. Okay. First of all, if you want to 10x your money, there's no choice but to be more aggressive, right? But when you want to go aggressive, you also need to keep in mind that there's a very big risk for you to lose everything, right? So your first step you should do is to set aside a portion of the 10,000 to build a cushion of your portfolio.
All right.
Let's say 20% or 30%, whatever it is, right? Say 20,000. You put it into money market fund, which gives you maybe 3-4% earnings for the entire year, right? So 20%, let's say 4%, that would work out to how much? 2,000 for is about 800 ringgit.
Okay.
Is that, 800 ringgit. So, which is quite a big amount of money in terms of
2,000 ringgit.
2,000 ringgit, 4%.
4%, 80 ringgit lah bro, 800.
I got calculator, I think, today purposely. Oh yeah, 80 ringgit only.
Crazy bro.
80 ringgit.
800 ringgit, I put tomorrow.
Okay, so you have that cushion, right? But at least no matter what happened, your 20% is safe. You have 2,000 ringgit for sure. And then you take the remaining 8,000 ringgit, that one you can go aggressive on your investment, hopeful that this thing can go 10 times. So 8,000, 10 times is 80,000 plus your 2,000. Okay, you are still not 100,000, but at least you are close to 100,000 if you are able to do that 10x
so
on your 8,000.
What are you going to do with that 8,000?
Okay, so because the strategy here is to be aggressive, so you have to be all out. You don't talk about diversification because diversification will dilute your earnings.
Yep.
So it needs to be very concentrated, hopefully just by one asset. And if this asset makes it, you really make it, right? 10 times X. But the sad truth is, if you choose the wrong asset, then your 8,000 could end up, you only have end up like 5,000 or 4,000 at the end of the year. So it's a very risky game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and what asset will you likely choose to do that?
Hey, you keep on prompting me.
Yeah, I know you're trying not to say it. Yeah,
okay,
so I'm trying to prompt you to say things that that you really, really think.
Ah, yeah, okay. We do the...
Because I'm also going to tell you really, really what I think, right?
Okay. Yeah. So we do the strike out thing, right? Okay, so bonds will not give you 10 times return for sure. So forget about it. Stocks, if you're a very good stock picker, maybe. But generally speaking, if you just buy ETF, if you just buy one or two stocks, sometimes you make money, sometimes you lose money. It is still a distance away for the 10 times, right? But what is clear, well, not clear, or at least what we see, is that 2024 looks like Bitcoin will go into crypto summer, right? Crypto summer because of all the reasons that we talked about before, right? And if, let's say, for example, now it's 44,000 Bitcoin, and if it really shoots up to 100,000, that is 3-4 times already, right? And if you do trading along that price trend, it's quite possible to do 10 times.
Yeah. So, anything else that you want to add on to, if a 10K, how can you get 100?
Yeah, be very focused. Don't diversify. Pick an asset that you think that really can give you the 10 times and then just go.
All right. Yeah, fantastic. So for me, I think firstly, if you talk about 10K to 100K within a year and you have no money add on, it's just that 100K, I think it's quite hard. I'll just put it that way. Your chances of success is probably about like 10%. That's pretty much.
True. Okay? True.
Yeah, and I'm talking about statistically not true one, my own estimation. I'm just saying that it's very low. Okay. Now, why is it so? It's because... you need to pick the right asset. You need to be fully concentrated. You need to be really, really sharp. Right?
And you need to be on the ball to keep updated on what's going on with the asset.
And things that everyone already know, you likely won't get there. I mean, put it this way. Will Bitcoin 10x? Maybe yes, maybe no. Yeah. Because it's quite obvious that it's on an uptrend. When it's obvious, you're likely not going to get there. That's the point. Yeah. It has to be things that are not obvious. Yeah. So... to 10x your money within a year, I can tell you one thing for sure is that you're being crazy. But if you're there, yes, fair, there's methods that can go about. And probably the only two ways that you're going to get there is actually very, very active trading. There are some trading guys out there who are very good at trading and they can do that. Means like every week they make 10% or 5% or 2% that kind. Yeah, very possible. But you need to keep doing that without making too much of mistakes. Your risk management have to be so good.
Yeah.
And I've only talked to one or two professional traders who are really kind of that good, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Yeah, you need to be so good to make that double. But if you put it into different perspective, right? You just need to double that 10,000 3-4 times. You hit 100,000 already.
Yeah.
So you just need to be correct that 3-4 times.
Yeah, that's as good as you take a dart and you ensure that you can throw
the same
hit
spot,
the bull's eye three times in a row.
Yeah, in a row some more. It cannot miss one time.
Cannot miss one time.
You miss one time, no more already.
Yeah. So there is a... yes, definitely to a certain extent, even you talk about the mainstream coins, it's going to be harder. Yeah, if you talk about crypto, it's going to be super... like weird coins are, which I can likely say that if you can make it, chances are is either a speculation or either you're just very, very lucky. Yeah. So that's as much as I can say. So we have done with 10K. Anything to add on? If not, let's move on to the next one, right?
No, I think for people with 10K savings, I think the gradual method to build your wealth is more sustainable.
So, since you want to throw out a disclaimer so fast, I wanted to throw it out at the end, but I think we throw it out now.
Okay.
Yeah. Firstly, if you're looking at 10K, if I ask us, I say don't attempt. You will likely end up losing half your money.
Yeah.
And that is probably because you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The higher chance you're going to get there to find that right vehicle for the 10X, chances are you may end up with only 10% of your money or 20% of your money.
Go long term and believe in the 8 wonder of the world, which is compounding.
All right.
That will bring you very, very far.
So now, let's move on to the next one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, since you already give the disclaimer, now we move on to the next one. What if we are looking at 50K?
50K easier. Because you just need to double one time already.
So if let's say you only have 50K one shot now, what will you do?
Now the direction is a little bit different. now the objective has two parts. The first part is, of course, to hit 100,000. The second part would be don't lose your 50,000. Because 10,000, if you lose 10,000, you lose 10,000.
That's right.
But 50,000, if you lose 50,000, that is 5 times more than the previous case scenario.
That's right.
Right? So you need to be very careful with 50,000. Again, I think by now, your cushion, the buffer portion should be even higher. So just now I say 20% of your portfolio should be there, right? Now, if you assign the same 20,000 or 50,000, there will be 10,000 on fixed deposit or whatever. So that, no matter what happens, at least you still have 10,000 in your hand. The remaining 40,000, you can split into different asset classes. Now you can do that sort of diversification.
Okay.
Mm.
Then how are you going to do it? You're still giving very general answer. Let's go in detail. I know you don't like going into detail, right?
I don't like to go into detail.
But okay. Today I want to make you go into detail.
I will go into a little bit deeper. I will give you how I break down the portfolio. Okay, so just now 20,000 I put into safety box already. So the remaining 80,000, I will go maybe 60% on crypto and then 20% on stocks. Very high growth stocks and even speculative stocks.
All right.
Mm. Crypto, for the simple fact that because everything is being programmed, so you just need to follow the program and see how the market reacts to the program and let it run. Stocks is because year in, year out, right, you will see a handful of stocks that can double, triple every year. And if you do your homework, it's actually not hard to find these kind of stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just agree. Yeah. So you just put your 20%, the remaining 20% that you are ready to lose all the money into that dream stock.
Oh, right. How rich. We have a whiteboard here right now, and then we could have drawn things, right? But yeah, never mind. It's okay.
Yeah, we can use our imagination.
Yeah, you'll use your imagination as you're listening or you're watching this, right? Correct. So think about it. The first out of 50,000, 20%, 10K. Out of the 10K, you're going to make maybe 4% a year. Mm. So we are talking about 400 ringgit.
Mm.
Right? 400 ringgit. Mm. Okay. Now, then we have a 60%, which is
30,000. 80%.
Then 60% of the money goes to crypto.
Okay,
money.
Yeah.
So that's a 30,000, right? Yeah. So usually when we talk about crypto terms, I would say triple at a summer, at a crypto summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, this applies only during summer, right? We're not talking about winter. Winter means going down, right? Now it's like the period seems like things are warming up. Fed is starting to say that they're going to reduce interest.
Yep.
They're already giving strong hints of everything. Yeah, yep. Market is shooting up again. Yeah. Forget about fundamentals. I mean, jokingly, that's what I said. It's not really forget about fundamentals. Yeah. But what I mean is that the world is going crazy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, then we are looking at, let's say, 3 times, right? If let's say you talk about 3 times, that 60K, that 30K is going to be 90K.
Mm.
Is it 90? 3 times, 3x.
Mm.
Mm. Ah, yellow, 90K. Mm.
Yeah.
So now you count him 100K. Deal?
Yep.
If let's say your...
The remaining 10,000, you double it one time, you get 20,000. So 110 plus your safety, 10,000, 120?
120. Somewhere you got a leeway to lose 20% or...
Correct.
20% of that portion didn't work out.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So, yeah.
Mm.
I think it's a realistic way of looking at things.
It's realistic, but still very risky.
Yeah, very risky.
Super
whatever it is.
Risky.
So now we are going to classify, right? Yeah. So do you think this method is risky? Yeah, so risky.
Yeah, it is risky. And I think if your heart cannot take that kind of yo-yo, right? You can adjust your portfolio a little bit, maybe not so much into crypto, maybe more towards stocks. So even stocks, you can put some into dividend stocks and whatnot. But that will lower your chance of hitting 100,000 as well. Lah. But at least it is a safe sailing. It's a safer sailing towards 100,000.
Mm. So now let's do this podcast or this episode today in a very open manner. Yeah, that's the key point.
Dangerous, lah, bro.
Yeah. you're like holding back a lot of things. Yeah, we decided this topic so that we can
talk about
things, you know? Yeah, yeah. Definitely nothing here is investment advice, right?
Ah, yes.
So, yes. So, now, the thing is this.
Mm.
I think if you're at 50K, it is much more higher chance that you can hit 100. And it is difficult, but it's not too difficult.
Mm.
It is risky, but it's not super duper risky already.
Mm.
Yeah, because you just need double the money. And I would do pretty much similar thing to Frankie, which is 10 to 20% going into an FD or either money market fund. The remaining, I'm going to just go in, right? But for me, chances are maybe a little bit more on crypto, yeah? But it's not super much more already because it's already quite a lot. Yeah, so we're talking about probably 70-80% of the portfolio will be in crypto. Yeah, and then remaining of that will be in stocks. Now, why would I do that? For a very simple reason. The idea of the whole crypto market right now is quite clear. The uncertainty pretty much is removed already. Because the worst already happened. Yeah, whoever need go jail, eh? Go pay fine, eh? Whoever need gonna ban, eh? It's only upward, eh, you know? Any news is good news.
One more in January. If let's say SEC don't approve that spot ETF, that could be one bad catalyst.
Okay. But if you think about it, it still doesn't affect much. Because fundamentally, it doesn't affect much.
Yeah.
Because at this point, they're already operating outside of a fundamental, outside of the regulation.
Correct.
It doesn't affect much. Yeah, it doesn't affect much at all. But it's going to cause a sentiment, a bad sentiment for a while, which is just like stock. Anytime like suddenly you say project may be delayed, then do you say that like, oh, I don't believe in it, right? Unless you hear that, oh, this company is closing down.
Yeah.
That's a different story, right? So that's for me. And then definitely the other side is definitely going to be in stock because like what Frankie said, if you pick the right stock, I think it's not really hard to actually find 100 times, not 100 times,
100%
return, right? Which is 1x, right?
Yeah. Go on, every year show got on.
Every year show got on.
Sure got confirmed.
Every year show got on. Even if you don't say 100 times, it's quite common to find within a season, 20%. You just follow and chow, so roughly about that. Yeah, it doesn't really. Yeah, and with the market being in an uptrend, it's not very hard lah. Yeah, so that's the thing. Now, so that's 50K lah, right?
That's 50K.
Yeah, and however, would I recommend people to try this? Again, my answer is no. Unless you really know what you're doing, and you know you are okay losing the money or losing half of it as well. Because whatever that we say just now, there's a high chance that you're going to lose half of it. Especially if you do not know when to exit. Because I would love to say that if you're in it already, then you already gotten it at slightly lower price, then you got more margin of error, margin of safety.
Yep.
That's there. But the later you go in, then the more difficult, less margin of safety. And even if you enter now and then you don't know how to exit later also, you also get yourself in trouble, right? Because the market is always ups and downs and eventually it will come down.
Yeah.
That's something that you have to always remember.
Correct. Yeah. So this is one problem where a lot of people face. Now, buying stock is very easy. Because, this stock very good, I think got potential to go up. People buy. The problem is people don't know how to sell.
Correct.
Yeah. Then they fall in love with the stock. Drop by 10% already. Like, never mind. Drop already. It will come back up eventually. Then they wait. Then continue to drop 20%. Already lose money already. Might as well just leave it there. Right?
Yeah.
Continue to drop 50%. Then now you don't know what to do already.
Correct. Yeah. You know what's the answer usually, right?
What?
If I don't sell that, at least it's just paper loss. I never realize my loss.
Oh. If it is a bad company, your paper loss is going to be toilet paper.
Yeah, that's the issue, right?
Correct.
Yeah, literally, I have people and family who are like that.
Oh.
Who actually hold on to it when they speculated a stock they know is not good. They just speculated it and when they did not exit at the right time. And when I told them like, hey, that's a lousy company. You know what they tell me? If I don't sell that, at least I don't realize my loss, man. Still got hope. I was like, okay. I was like, okay. Yeah. So if you're the kind of person and you think you may say that, please don't even attempt at 50K, okay? Yeah, please don't even attempt. Now, let's change the subject a bit now. Not subject. We change the number.
Yeah.
Now let's go up to 80K.
This one.
How to get
to... This one very easy.
100K.
From 80K to 100K.
No, you cannot add money.
Yeah.
It's just
80K. 80K to 100K. Okay. So now you may think that it is weird because just now the first two scenario I say you have to keep some money in the safe box because you, if anything goes wrong, at least you have that 10-20% there, right? But this time around, because you have 80K, and because 80K, it is not too far off from 100K. So my objective is to quickly hit the 100K already. It's not about waiting for the whole year to make it happen. So this time around, in fact, for me, I wouldn't even put money into the safe box anymore. It's not into FD anymore. But instead, this portion of the money, I'll go and buy dividend stocks. Because while dividend stocks continue to pay dividend, which is kind of similar to putting in FD, it has the, it has the potential for the share price to grow. So it will help you to grow your portfolio higher. But let's say for a situation where even the dividend stocks also fall, right? But because you have 80,000 bullets, ma, when it fall, you will maybe, I let you lose 10,000 or 20,000, you will still end up having 60,000 or 50,000. So you are still okay. You have the capacity to lose. So I would be a little bit more aggressive if I have 80,000 in that sense. Then the remaining, the amount of money, it's still the same strategy as the 50,000, where a large chunk will be into crypto and a smaller chunk will be into stocks.
No, you were saying that like 80,000, how will you allocate it again?
Yeah. So just now I mentioned 20% should go into FD, right? Right. So this FD portion in the 80,000 scenario, I will shift it towards dividend stocks.
Oh, so you shift 20% of 80,000 to dividend stocks.
But
now
the remaining proportion will be the same strategy as my 50,000. So in this strategy, if I make money, I will make even more money than the second scenario. Because I'm at full exposure to the market. But at the same time, I'm kind of protected by dividend. That will be my strategy. Because my objective is to hit the 100,000 as fast as I can. Because I have the bullets to play.
Okay. So here's where I'll take a different approach than you already. So for me, at this point, if my objective is to hit 100,000, I will go by objective.
Objective. What is your objective?
I only need 25% more in order to get there.
All right.
So I don't need to be so aggressive really. All I need to do is I'll still set 20% on FD. I'll set 50% for crypto. This time, I'll set liquid cash also.
What is liquid cash?
Like another 5,000 to 10,000 liquid. Just waiting for other opportunity. Like maybe, money market also can consider that because nowadays so much more flexible than last time, right? So I would say that maybe 30% higher portion into FD. And then after remaining, I will take that. I will put remaining 50% of that portion. I will go into crypto. And then now I still have left about 20%. That will go in stock. Why is it so? Because I think if my objective is to hit 100K, I don't need to take so much risk. So depending on my objective. But if let's say I want more than 100K, then I will do the exact same thing. So that will be how I look at it. But I have to say that when you're at 80K, it's so much more easier.
80K is so much more easier. Because at 10,000 and 50,000, the objective is to not lose money, you know. At 80,000, the objective is to make more money. So it's very different. It's very different. So therefore, that's my strategy.
So instead, for me, at 10K level, right, I may not even have too much in FD also.
Oh, you'll go all out. But if you lose, you lose 10,000. No?
Because it's easy to save up 10K. That's my opinion. So this depends on background, right? Depends on whether have you been doing business?
Right.
Or have you been an employee for very long, right? And how did you actually come across that 10K? And how do you look at it? So, maybe I'm quite a hustler. I will do a lot of part-times just to make sure that I can get my money. So you know my jobs don't pay well as you, right? But I'm a hustler, so I make my money in that sense, right? So, that's how I'll see it. That's how I'll see it. So now, that's pretty much about it. If you have any questions or either you have any situation, if you think that you want to throw us a situation, if I have 10K, and then I can save up another 5K every month. How should I get there, right? Now, then you can ask us in the comment and we'll answer that. Now, okay. I understand that there are also some trolls here, yeah, which I openly admit that there are trolls here. Yeah, so yeah, if it's a troll question, then it's a troll question. No? I may answer, I may not. No?
Yeah. Yeah, but
if it's not, like, for those of you who sincerely want to ask that question, then do ask, right? I think it's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you want to say something before I continue?
Yes. I have one question to ask you. Because in those scenario, we said that we want to put a portion of the money into stocks, but we never talk about what kind of stocks to buy. Do you want to share what kind of stocks would you buy?
For me, I'll buy growth stocks. Also,
growth stocks.
I think in the Malaysia market, to look at dividend is going to be quite fun, simply because I don't get any withholding tax or whatnot.
Yep.
But maybe because of my age, and I'm more aggressive naturally. So growth stocks that are fundamentally strong, in my opinion, I can weather it out. I don't need the money in next 1 month or 2 months or 1 year. So it's okay. I can just leave it there for 5 years, 6 years. So I got no problem with that, right? Dividend stocks is great, but it will be a portion of my investment where as I grow more older a bit, yeah, a little bit more older, maybe when I start hitting 40, 45, I'm going to start switching there, right? So in US, for me, that's also a beautiful market to play with, to invest in. And generally, I'll look at big brands. Simply because I get access to information much more easier than those brands that I do not know of.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm much more aware. Yeah. So for that reason, those are the two kind of stocks that I'll look at in both Malaysian market and US market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would also go with the same answer. But to add on to your point is that US, a lot of all these companies, they are multinational companies. So next year, it's a very tricky year because the economic conditions doesn't look very good. But because all these companies, they're multinational companies, if US is not doing good, they have other companies to help them to cover. So safe to say that to invest in US stocks, right, you are diversifying into the whole world already. And at the same time, they give you that growth stocks element. So yeah, I will also put most of the stocks money into growth stocks and specifically in the US, right? And since we're on this topic, we need to thank our sponsor.
Oh.
We need to thank our sponsor.
Oh, no wonder you have a question for me, Sally.
Of course. Sponsor, okay? Give me some time, okay? So we have to thank M Plus Global. They are, the parent company is Malacca Securities. So now they open up for investors to invest in US and Hong Kong stocks. And for especially for you guys, if you deposit 2,000 ringgit into your trading account, you will get 1 free Palantir shares. And this offer only valid until the end of the year, which means you only have 10 days to do it.
Anything else you want to add on?
Nope.
Promoting the sponsor? No? Nope.
That was a very blunt plug. Yeah, but
super blunt, bro. Suddenly you don't know what to answer, right?
Yeah. Borak.
Okay. Now, there are quite some questions here. Now, let's say we were to talk about, instead of people asking us about numbers, apparently there are a lot of people who end up asking us about methods, right? So, why not let's go with those questions, right? Yeah. So, someone asked, how do you play with crypto as in bot trade and self trade? Do you have any knowledge of that?
I don't do bot trade because I don't understand the bots, right? Because bot trade is more about understanding the programming and then make sense of the programming and then you plant it into your trading strategy, right? Which I don't know how to do. So mostly I do self-trade. I trade myself based on my own indicators and my own analysis.
All right. So I think I'm just going to give a short idea of what are these two things for those of you who are listening there. I think number one is that when you talk about bot trades, I'm not sure what kind, because when he refer a bot trade, he generally refer to banking level high frequency trading. When most of the retail people that I know talking about bot trade, it means the self-programmable bot trade that we are talking about, they can program on exchanges and easily access. And even with using TradingView, and stuff like that, right? Now, the idea behind it is very simple. It is just generally technical charts and you program a bot that tells you exactly if this one does this, certain condition are met, you buy, certain condition are met, then you sell. That's the whole idea behind it, right? So that's basically building a bot to trade for you. Mm. Is it good? Is it bad? I think first you need to understand how trading works. Yeah. So if you do not know how to trade, then you program bot. I think it may not work very well. Yeah, because you need a lot of big data. So if let's say you do not know trading, then your big data analytics has to be quite good. Yeah. So I think it's really quite complicated. For those who talk a lot about algo trading and this and that, I'll be honest, I am not a big fan simply because I haven't met someone who has, at a retail level, who's so good at it that became a multimillionaire or billionaire just by that. That's because I'm a bit... I don't know as much. More narrow-minded. Huh? Less. I don't know that many people.
Mm.
Because put it this way, there are big institutions who are using AlgoTrade to make money as well. And yeah, some of them also don't make money.
Mm.
So I don't... So it doesn't appeal to me that much when I try to build a bot myself. Yeah. But
even bankers don't use bot to trade that much. It's simply like, you know how pilots use autopilot and then they can go and drink a coffee, eat their meals and all that, right? It's the same. Bankers, when they use bot trading, is for that purpose.
Mm.
So let's say they want to go toilet, they want to go out for lunch. So they just change it to the bot, let the bot trade. Then when they come back, they take over the trading again.
Mm. So in order to trade, to get to riches, I have to say it's a very high risk game.
Mm.
Yeah. So in fact, before we even go into answering the rest of the question, I want to say that if you don't care about liquidity, actually buying a property could be your easiest way to get 100K.
Yeah. Yep, because of leverage.
Because of leverage.
Mm.
Yeah. But if you want to liquidate your 100K out to use, then you're actually going into debt of 100K because you have to refinance. If not, then you have to sell the property. Yeah. And you're expecting a property to grow by 40% within 1 year, only you can cash out 100K. Yeah. Mm. I mean, if your property is... Okay, because basically a property, anything, any growth of value, your sale value is anything lesser than 30%, you're basically not going to see money. Yeah, you are going to think that you see money simply because you paid for all the lawyer fee, all those, and you're only based on your house value, right? So you thought you see money. But the truth is, no lah.
Yeah. But because of leverage, property generally gives you the highest ROI.
But it's not liquid. That's why we are not including that in today's conversation. But that's the point, right?
Yep.
I just want to highlight that point before we move on.
Mm.
Now, what are your guys' opinion on leverage trade with small account? I disagree that.
Mm.
I think super high risk.
Super high risk.
Yeah, I disagree.
But of course, if you get it right, you just need to double your money one time, you will get to 100,000. Mm. But if you lose, you just need to lose a small fraction, you lose the entire 10,000. Mm. That's the risk that you're taking.
Yep. So do you count your EPF as your total net worth? Yes, I do. It's just that in this case, we are talking about cash in bank account. Yeah, but actually the truth is, if you look at your EPF, you can be rest assured, especially those of you who are earning quite well. When you look at your EPF, you can be rest assured that you're going to be a millionaire. If you're already earning about 4,000-5,000 every month, by the time you retire, you should have at least 1 million. Okay, with your increment.
With increment and compounding, I think can.
But if let's say you increase, bonus, by the time you retire, you only earn 7,000 and you start at a starting pay of 4K, then maybe harder. You must go to at least 5 figure. Yeah, later. So then you will roughly be able to have at least 1 million.
Yep.
Mm. So since it's not liquid, why do I calculate it? Because by the time you retire, you still have the cash. And the money is obviously still going to be there for you. It's just right now you don't get it. Mm. Okay, Red Sea crisis. Any possible war in Suez pushing oil price up? Opinion on risk towards inflation and recession if Fed can't drop interest rate?
Yeah, I wrote about this in my newsletter, which is going to be published tomorrow. So for you guys who want to know more about this Red Sea crisis, you can sign up to our newsletter. Just go to MrMoneyTV.com and subscribe to our newsletter. It will be sent to you tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. But just to give you guys some background, there is this militant group called Houthi. They are from Yemen, and they are the rebels of the Yemen's government. So they wanted to show their support to that Gaza war thing, right? So what they do is they go and attack ships that is in the Red Sea. So as you know, that route there has a lot of oil and gas coming in and out and whatnot. So oil prices have shot up suddenly, right, because of this attack. And they say that they are not going to stop. And if you recall, during the start of Ukraine war, the Russian army also blocked their seaports. So things cannot come out. And during that time, what happened? High inflation. So this situation now is kind of like a deja vu again, you know, happening in the Red Sea. If people are blocking the sea route and things cannot come out, or they need to take longer route to go one big round to come in, estimated half a month longer, yeah, potentially inflation can come up again. That is the fear.
All right. So I think there is fear. To a certain extent, unless there's another black swan. Yeah. But at this point, the interesting part is this. All black swan seem like normal swan, really.
Because too many.
Right? You get what I mean, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh, another war. Oh, another attack. It's come to that point already. So I don't know what to categorize as another black swan anymore.
Alien come down?
Or nuclear attack, you know. If there's a nuclear attack, then basically it's a whole different level. Basically, there's not going to be any more lives. Let's put it this way. It's just going to be a whole different game altogether. Right? But you get what I mean, right?
I get what you mean.
So it has come to a point that it's... I think black swan only happens when you expect things are going to be good and something bad happens. If every day there's something bad happen, it's like, what's so black? The world can go on as normal.
Yep.
And we are seeing that in Feds and everything, all right?
Yep.
Like, even when they say that the economy numbers are better and so on, but the truth is they kind of massage the numbers a bit if you dig deeper. Yeah.
True.
They actually massage it a bit to make it look good. Yeah. So, like, for example, even the Black Friday sale, you know, everything all, they said, oh no, record breaking, you know, people are still spending and everything all. And apparently, as I dig deeper into it, I came to realize that actually by inflation and everything, if you add in inflation, the sales actually drop.
The goods that are sold actually drop. But because it's so expensive, it looks like...
By total number also, inflation actually
dropped. Oh, really? Huh?
Yeah. By total number also, inflation actually dropped. Yeah. And then also with like, when they say like number is higher, all these numbers are unreported with inflation. That's the key. So there are quite a lot of things that I think they are quite determined to drop the interest already. If not, cannot tahan already.
Let's see. People are expecting much next year interest rate will drop.
Could be that they suddenly say no. They don't drop. That will be a black swan.
That one is an engineered black swan. Because you say already, then in the end, never happen. You eat your own words.
Correct. So it's like, literally, it's like if someone will screw you over at this point, that kind of feeling. So you want to see whether someone is going to screw you over or not. So that one, I got nothing to say. Now, the next thing is this. Can I know what broker are you currently using?
Oh, M Plus Global. Deposit 2,000 ringgit, you'll get one free Valentine shares.
Okay, but this one we are not lying because they are regulated.
Yeah.
So we are not like telling you nonsense, but really because they are regulated. Yeah. And yes, if you use our code, you get one free Palantir
shares. Yeah.
Okay, what do you think about those Yieldmax Defiance Definance? I think that's what it's Defiance ETF. As they're coming, those that mimic stock movement.
I don't know what is it actually. What is Yieldmax Defiance ETF?
Actually, in my opinion, is that I think these are all the crypto kind of stuff. Crypto yield products.
Okay. Yeah. So all these are considered decentralized finance, so it is not regulated. You can experience a rug pull or whatever, then people just chuck all your money away.
My opinion is just very high risk, that's all.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, very, very high risk. Yeah. As a beginner, what are the baby steps I need to take to learn how to trade, the strategies, and what to look out for and how to strengthen the basic? I think this is very interesting because the other day we just sat down with a real trader, right?
Mm.
Yeah, he actually trades like in double digit millions.
Mm.
Yeah, 50 million, 70 million.
He's a commodity trader.
Yeah, and he trades for proper industries. Mm. So what he does is that his company is in manufacturing and they needed the raw product. So they are brought in as trader to hedge their raw purchases.
Mm.
Yeah. So for those of you who are in the industry, you kind of understand what this is. Lah. Right. Now, the interesting part is this. When we talked to him, the first time I expected that he's going to tell me a lot of theories on like technical chart. And the day, he said, "What? I'm very basic." One.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm very basic. I just look at the chart. Naked one. I just draw a trend. Can jalan.
Mm.
Yeah. And what we realized was that he actually understood one thing a lot more as well, is fundamentals. A lot of technical guys that I know don't understand fundamentals, but he actually understands the fundamental. Yeah. And when he talked about fundamental, his fundamental is not just normal, like our kind of like macro businesses, that kind of fundamental. He goes very much into the proper business stuff, like are companies buying and selling this kind of commodity or not? This kind of season, is there a need for it or not? When is the usual manufacturing date? When is the usual delivery date? That kind of fundamental, like solid. So he used that to actually form his ideas of when to buy and sell, right? Mm. Yeah. So I think that if you want to trade, you want to spend a lot of time in fundamentals.
Yeah, you need to understand what you trade. So like this commodity trader, he trades all the raw materials, right? So he understands very well everything ins and outs about the commodity that he trades. You know, when is the harvest season, whether now raining season is good or not, how is it going to affect the supply, the shipping condition, is there enough ship to transport things around? All these will affect the price of the things that he trade, and then he just draw a trend line. Okay, I think it's a strong trend line, then I just buy or sell. So for stocks, it's the same. You need to understand the company, how they make money. Are they borrowing too much or are they borrowing too little? And how is it going to affect their business in the next 3 months, 6 months, or even a year? All this will affect the price of the stock today. The more information that you have, the better informed decision you are going to make and the more certain you are in terms of making money for yourselves.
Mm. So I think let's each pick some question. There's a question here that's from Eugene Wong. He asks, any recommendation on cold wallet for Bitcoin? I'm using Ledger.
Same.
Yeah. So we are both using Ledger.
Yep.
Yeah. We won't tell you which model.
There are only three models. So yeah, one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, I think Eugene Wong asked a very good question as well. You may want to take it.
Which one?
He's talking about his Bursa's portfolio. He's talking about portfolio allocation.
This one, is it? Is there a way to do portfolio allocation and rebalancing 4 more months to first year in Bursa?
He's doing well around 7.5%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically he's saying that I think what he's trying to say is that his return is around 7.5% currently. Okay. They are doing quite well. So 4 more months to 1 year. Is there anything that he can do for better location? No. Definitely, we can't advise.
Mm.
Yeah. So maybe I'll comment.
Yeah.
Then you take it from there.
Okay.
So that you don't feel too sensitive.
Okay.
About breaking rule.
I very scared.
Yeah. He very scared one because he's investment banking, right? Mm. Yeah, background. So I'm a content creator. So
create content.
I think that there is, firstly, at 7.5%, I think, okay.
You're doing very well already.
You're doing very well.
Yeah. Your allocation is good already.
Yeah. So the first thing that you need to do is ask yourself actually what you want.
Mm.
Yeah. So first thing you want to ask yourself what you want. You want 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%. What is it that you want first? Yeah. Okay. If you want that number, okay, then what you do is that you can talk to your financial advisor. Then you ask him what to allocate. Now, then after you talk to him, should you believe in everything? Shouldn't. Just like you shouldn't believe in anything we say.
Mm.
Yeah, brilliant.
Tonight is a blow water session.
There's a saying, do not trust people who dispense advice for a living. Yeah. Okay, we don't dispense advice. We create entertainment for a living. And you don't have to trust us. You just have to be entertained, okay? No. So, what you do after that is you study what kind of stock categories can give you the kind of returns that you want. So when you study the kind of stock category that can give you the kind of return that you want, then what you do is you do a portfolio allocation based on your projected return based on those stocks that you think can generate the return. For example, stock A, you think based on the fundamental research and approach that you looked at, chances are it's going to have 20% growth by the end of the year. How are you going to arrive at that number? Well, you need to understand how to do intrinsic calculation, right? Intrinsic valuation. There's a lot of financial reports that you can read. There is a research report from brokers that you can read. Whether you trust it or not, again, another story, right? But the point is, ideally, is you know how to calculate. Now, let's say, for example, that's going to be 20%. Then you need to ask yourself, are you going to drop in all your money into this 20% stock or are you going to diversify? So if you diversify, what's the percentage of your portfolio that you will put into this? So that's how you do a portfolio calculation. After you allocate everything already, then you look at the overall. You calculate what we call weighted return. Then with the weighted return, you know what's your portfolio return. Safe or not?
Okay.
But makes sense, right? Makes sense, right?
Makes sense. Okay, let me take over from here. Okay. First of all, 7.5% return, very good allocation already. So there's a saying that says in investment, boring is beautiful, right? And looks like your portfolio is quite boring and it is beautiful. So if you really want to go into rebalancing, then you really need to ask yourself, why is that stock so attractive that I need to change my portfolio? The portfolio that is already giving me 7.5% to the new stock. You need to convince yourself very hard on that. And if you can do it, change. If you cannot, better don't change. Because investment is supposed to be boring.
Yep.
Yeah.
So actually both of us in the end is just telling you, you do what you want. And that should be the right answer. You know why?
Everyone got different style, man.
Correct. Unless you're asking me for stock tips, which we are not allowed to give.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you guys shed some light on buy, borrow, die strategy and how ordinary people...
What's that? Where is it?
What is buy, borrow, die strategy? Maybe you can teach us. I don't know what strategy is this. Yeah. So maybe you can tell us about it. Now, there are some other questions here. Maybe you'll pick up one.
This one maybe you can help to answer. What do you think is the best type sector of business to invest and grow in to make 100K in 2024, or maybe the fastest route to 100K?
Okay.
What kind of business will
we are
help
not
you?
Talking about? We are not talking about investment now.
No, we are talking about business.
Business, What's the best business? I think moving ahead, if you got the capital, renewable.
Renewable
energy. Yeah, green energy related. I think those are the business that will get a lot of grants.
Yeah.
I think number two is digital. Yeah, I still think that there's a huge, huge potential in digital. Now, however, if we are talking about 100,000, this number is not big. You don't need to go into renewable energy to make 100,000. That's overkill. Yeah, if you do renewable energy, you only make 100,000 at the end of the year.
It's not a good business.
It's not a good business. I mean, if that's how you start, it's okay, but it needs to be bigger. A matured business like that wouldn't be 100,000. The people that we know who are in this business, I mean, we have seen that, right? Yeah. So I would say that for any normal people today, if you're thinking about 100,000 ringgit, if you are those who have no connection, know nothing, and you're going to start yourself, I think definitely the best way is actually go into a content creation business.
I was going to the same point as well. Well, because 100,000, not big, not small, but within your own personal capacity, that is one of the easiest way for you to start. because yes. you can leverage on a lot of technology to help you to achieve that.
Correct.
You can write article for people in the US and they pay you in US dollar.
That's right.
You get 4-5 times the amount of money you can make, right?
That's right.
And yeah. we are also hiring, right? You can send in your CV Correct. To us. If everything is okay, you know, we may even pass some jobs to you too.
Yeah. If you're talking about like freelance content creators, mm. as in like you're supporting production, all these kind of things, and writing articles, writing scripts, stuff like that. I think it's quite easy. It makes some extra money.
Mm.
If you're talking about building your own content in the sense of like, maybe, you know, choose a topic that you're truly passionate in and then create content surrounding it. Yeah.
Mm.
I know you're watching personal finance and you may be thinking maybe I'll do personal finance content. It's up to you. Be the next Mr. Money.
Mm.
Yeah, go ahead, right?
Mm.
No problem with that.
Yep.
Yeah, and in fact, I encourage you. Yeah, but if it's not your passion, then don't. Because trust me, it's not as easy as it seems.
It's draining.
Yeah, it can be very draining. Yeah. I mean, you look at the trolls, you also will feel like if you're sitting here and we are like buta di towards it at this point.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're going to deal with haters and so on. But the point is that it is actually probably still the best way to make that money. Yeah. In the 100,000 range.
Yep.
And I'm talking about, think about it. It can be it parenting, be it talking about makeups, talking about, just talk about something that you're truly, truly passionate in. Something that truly, truly makes you happy. Yeah. So like, and what I mean by that is, it is not, you see, I'm not truly happy when I'm calculating money. I'm truly happy when I see people understand that money shouldn't be a prison for them to feel that they are poor because they got no money. They can't do better because they have no money. I hate that. And I'm passionate in making people feel that like they're liberated from it and they can go and be the best despite the fact that they got no money. Yeah, that's my passion. So calculating money is not a passion. So you need to discover your passion to that level. Then you create content. I think you have a good chance. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Simply put, if you guys remember during lockdown, we got nothing to do and we go and do all kinds of funny things. We bake at home and then we do cooking at home and stuff like that. If that is your passion, that is the way for you to make your 100,000 as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Baking, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend who bakes. Every month makes 6-7 million, right?
Everyone makes 6-7 million? Serious?
Hey, no, 1 year, 1 year. Sorry, yeah, yeah, 1 year, 1 year.
Six, seven, wait, I also want to make.
Hey, no. Every month makes 600,000-700,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
But today, got two factories.
Wow.
He started from home also.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so, okay. What is one skill that you should pick up in order to do that, right?
Mm.
Is understand how to market.
Mm.
Yeah, I to say this is like, yeah, people may think like, why you go and tell people, right? But that's the truth. Ah. You learn how to market a product. You learn how to distribute a product. There's no argument to how good you are. Yeah, you are indispensable at the moment you know how to distribute a product. That's key.
Yep.
Distribution is king. Yeah. Okay, so what's another question that you think you want to... Someone asked me coughing COVID. I don't have COVID, but I have this issue called irritable bowel syndrome. So I think for the past 2 days or so, I wasn't in the office. Even until today, actually, I'm still not feeling very well.
Mm.
That's why I say that content creator will be draining, right? Yeah.
Mm.
So basically, I have an issue with diarrhea and nausea, those kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a gut issue.
Maybe I'll pick one last question now. Right? How about piling business due to property bull run for next year? Every development needs to do piling. But piling business is not a very big contract. So you need to have many, 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 many contracts in order to make a lot of money. But piling business for me as an investor, it's a good indicator that the bull run is coming. It's not so much for me to invest. I generally don't.
yeah, I think piling business is... I think it's a good thing. It's just it's that there are sexier stuff out there.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... The question is which one is... Yeah, by my own number and calculation.
Yep.
Right. Okay, last question here. After your session with Dr. Bota, do you think we should pindah to go Johor? What do you think about Johor moving ahead?
Johor is an interesting place because it's big. Number one, it's big. I think it's the second largest state in Peninsula Malaysia, right?
It's also closest to Singapore.
It's also closest to Singapore.
Their sultan is going to be our next agong.
Correct. And there are already a lot of plans, a lot of infrastructure development that is slated to happen in Johor. So I think the next few years is going to be very interesting there.
Yeah.
But plans sounds very good. But how are we going to execute it is different thing. So yeah, lor. But we are still Satu Malaysia, ma. So whether you are in Johor or whether you are in KL or wherever you are, you will have that spillover effect and you will feel it one way or the other.
I think one thing that's really interesting about Johor at this point is that the other day, I don't know whether this is going to be happening, but the other day, TMJ on KS Podcast actually mentioned that he is very keen to revamp the education system.
But education system is a federal
thing. Under
a
federal.
Correct.
Yeah, under federal. You're right. Now, so he wants to fight for more rights for governance under the state. And there are a lot of argument that one of the main issues in Malaysia's education system is if your school don't have enough teachers, you cannot employ teachers. You need to go to the central to get the federal government to give you teachers. Yeah, and that's why our school is always understaffing. And so what happens is that there's a disconnect between federal and the school level on what are the talents needed to fill the staff for the staffing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Let's say, as a principal, I know that I need great science teacher who are young, who are eloquent. Then the other one say that I need science teacher who may not be the best, but they love kids because my kids are more certain character. Then they can hire for the right character. Because imagine when they submit all this to what do you call it? The JPA.
The MOE, Ministry of Education.
Ministry of Education. Then Ministry of Education only can give them the people. Then there's a certain disconnect. So he's trying to fight for that, he's saying, right? Now, for that, if it happens, I may really think that Johor could be a good place.
Difficult, difficult. Because you are going to create multiple education systems in the country. Then people will be even more divided, right? If you think of it.
Don't know when. But anyway, I think Johor is a fantastic place.
Of course.
Yeah, like, especially for us who are doing digital kind of business. Actually, Johor could be good for us. Salary also lower, everything lower. We go there, we become like king, eh?
Not really, lah. But
no, like salary. We can offer.
Can.
Salary can in Johor try. Usually lower than KL.
Okay.
Right?
Let's set up a brunch there.
Maybe Mr. we should
Money
go there.
Johor.
Yeah, if you think we should go Johor, please, say Johor. No. I think this one deserves an answer. Our jam session. Yes. So we are thinking about more gatherings next year, just to share with you guys. Next year onwards, we plan to do more community engagement. Next year onwards, more the plan is that we're going to do monthly gathering with our audience. So we're going to start one in January itself. It's going to be January 13th. January 13th. We haven't figured out the time yet. Yeah, but we're going to have a session. Feel free to come by. We haven't decided on the location. We still haven't think about the format as well.
Yep.
But that's the plan, right? We really want to meet you guys because I think for the past few days as well, I was in the hospital and stuff like that. I met a few different people who walked up and said hi. And I actually got some feedback from them about our channel and so on. And I just want to say once again, for those of you who are watching this, thank you very much, you know, for being a great support for this channel. I have to say that we are doing well because of you guys. Yeah. We are doing well because you guys are here and you guys support us. And we do not know why. Hopefully it's because we gave you all some value and you guys enjoyed that.
Mm.
But nonetheless, thank you very much. So I'll end our session tonight with that.
Yep. All right. See you guys again next week.
Good night.
Good night.